Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Kate Rimsey here on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Rucker. There are three points of error that I'd like to quickly discuss with you this morning. The first is that the evidence presented at trial was insufficient to convict Mr. Rucker of witness retaliation. In order to prove Mr. Rucker committed witness retaliation, the government must show that Mr. Rucker caused bodily harm to a witness with the intent to retaliate for that witness's attendance in an official proceeding. That was the instruction that was given to the jury. There was no other part of the witness retaliation statute that was given. And here, whether Mr. Rucker harmed a witness is not at issue. Whether Mr. Alvarez testified as a witness at an official proceeding is not an issue. But what is at issue here is whether Mr. Rucker harmed Mr. Alvarez with an intent to retaliate for that attendance as a witness. Here there is no evidence of a link that the harm caused to Mr. Alvarez was in retaliation for his attendance at Mr. Rucker's sentencing. To give you some context, Mr. Rucker and Mr. Alvarez were not supposed to be in the same cell that day. There were actually separation orders between the two, and there are actually orders that Mr. Rucker and Mr. Alvarez both were supposed to be shackled. But that day, unfortunately, Mr. Alvarez was the only person shackled.
Well, why do you think he shoved Alvarez's head against the wall?
Your Honor, I can't speculate why he did it, but there was no evidence to show that it was because he had an intent to retaliate for Mr. Alvarez's attendance at his sentencing. And there was no evidence to show that Mr. Alvarez actually affected Mr. Rucker in that sentencing.
Well, what about this statement of the inmate Walton that Rucker said to Alvarez, "You like to get on the stand on people"?
Presuming that Mr. Rucker did know that... we can stipulate that Mr. Rucker did know that Mr. Alvarez got on the stand at his sentencing hearing. But there is no evidence that getting on the stand actually harmed Mr. Rucker such that he would have to form the intent to retaliate.
I don't understand that. If you know the person is a witness and you say you like to get on the stand on people, which is obviously disapproving, and then you smash his head against the wall, Why can't a jury infer that you were intimidating a witness?
Well, Your Honor, this is This is to harm someone with the intent to retaliate for attendance at the official proceeding. So it wasn't about threatening or intimidating. It was about harming someone with that intent to retaliate. The statute does not say that to harm someone for attending the official proceeding, there's the element of having the intent to retaliate. And although that...
Wait, I don't understand you. Suppose you hate snitches, right? You hate snitches. So whenever you discover someone is a snitch, you beat him up. Now, isn't that retaliating against a witness? Isn't that what retaliation means?
I think
punish someone privately who does things you don't like.
I think here there's no evidence to show that Mr. Alvarez actually affected Mr. Rucker's sentencing. And to the extent that the government...
Well, why does that matter? You can intimidate a witness who's given testimony favorable to you, but you misunderstood and you think he's an enemy. You think anyone who testifies for the government is bad, whatever he says, so you retaliate.
Sure, Your Honor, but this is a specific statute that says the intent to retaliate for attendance at a witness for the attendance as a witness at an official proceeding, and that was the instruction, and we have to give those words meaning, and here there is no intent to retaliate such that...
Well, taking the stand means that you are participating officially as a witness in a trial.
Yes, but there was no evidence to suggest that, or even to show that Mr. Rucker was actually harmed by that.
I don't think it requires harm. Why do you think it requires harm?
Because
what if you misunderstood? And actually the witness's testimony helped you, but you misunderstood. You thought anyone who testifies for the government is a bad person who's trying to hurt you. So you beat the person up. You may be totally misunderstanding what happened, but you're retaliating against a witness.
I'm sure if that were the case, then it would result in some absurd results, that someone would be convicted of this statute that carries a heavy burden.
Absurd results? I would think this more serious. The people who retaliate because they're, can't understand what's going on, they're more dangerous. They retaliate against witnesses that help them as well as hurt them.
Your Honor, my position is that retaliate has to be defined here using a common sense meaning, which is that to harm somebody who has harmed you. And Mr. Alvarez here did not harm Mr. Rucker during his sentencing because the government and his attorney entered into a stipulation as to the base offense level. And to the extent that the government can only rely on the stipulation at trial regarding Mr. Alvarez's testimony to prove this link, it goes to my second point, and I know I'm out of time, but which is that Mr. Rucker's counsel was ineffective.
So suppose he beats up a witness because he thinks the witness has testified against him, and you're saying that at trial he could show, yes, I beat this person up because I thought he had testified against me, but now I'm going to show that I was wrong. So I wasn't retaliating against a witness. I don't get that.
Your Honor, he has to have the intent
to
retaliate.
Some court said that? You have to prove that the witness harmed you in order to be guilty of the crime?
There are no courts, Your Honor. No. There is a dearth of case law on this statute, and there is actually no cases in which someone testified at a sentencing hearing. So if you'll permit me, I'll just make my final point, which is that his counsel was ineffective because he entered into
I want to stop you there because I want to make certain that you and Mr. Rucker are sure that you want to pursue the ineffectiveness claim on direct appeal rather than reserving it for a Section 2255 motion. You know, this court has long advised against that as a tactic because it has little to gain and potentially much to lose.
I understand that, Your Honor, and I'm making that at this moment on appeal, and because the stipulation that was entered into had quite a prejudicial effect because it was something that connects the elements that someone Mr. Rucker harmed Mr. Alvarez with an
attempt. I don't think you're understanding me. What I'm saying is that we often advise that an ineffectiveness claim be reserved for a Section 2255 motion.
I understand that, and that is something that we've considered, and we're making that point here. And the final point is that his sentence was unreasonable given the circumstances. He was effectively given the highest sentence that he could for an offense that was created almost by the government because he wasn't supposed to be there. He was given 20 years in addition to his prior sentence, and I believe here that the sentence does not fit the crime, and I know I'm out of time, but I hope I can reserve at least a minute.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Ramsey. Ms. Ramsey. Mr. Paganini?
May it please the Court, my name is Scott Paganini, and I represent the United States.
Was there ever an investigation of how these two men ended up in the same cell together?
There was, Your Honor. And to address that, Your Honor, that this was a terrible mistake. There was a miscommunication between the Marshal's office and the jail. I put in a request for a separation order. The Marshal Service acknowledged that separation order. They communicated it to the Oakland County Jail, but there was a mix-up as to the day of transportation. They were moving all these prisoners into this holding cell to transport them actually to the MCC, and somebody just crossed up and didn't realize that these two were not supposed to be in there together.
Has he had lasting problems from the assault?
He has. From last I spoke to him, he suffers from daily headaches. He has a scar on the back of his head from where he was when he was smashed against the wall, cut his head, and he received staples. But primarily he said he suffers from headaches on a daily basis.
This was a pretty harsh sentence, wasn't it? Particularly for something that seems to have been a spur-of-the-moment attack.
Your Honor, the district judge looked at, because of this offense, the defendant was a career offender. This offense was a violent crime. He had a prior violent crime, and he also had a prior drug trafficking offense. So this was a within-guideline sentence that the district court did. And actually, because of the statutory maximum, it was capped at 240. The range was actually 210 to 262. And then the judge did look at 3584 after he evaluated the 3553A factors. And, the statute provides that sentences shall run concurrently or run consecutively unless determined otherwise. And after evaluating the factors, he did not believe that a concurrent sentence was appropriate. Unless the court has any further questions, I would ask respectfully that this court affirm the defendant's conviction and sentence.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Paganini. Ms. Rumsey, do you have anything further?
With regard to the sentence, I understand that the court doesn't have to go through every factor under 3553, but of the ones that he did, he got them wrong. He called Mr. Rucker cold and calculating and said that that he should get the statutory maximum to run consecutive with his sentence. I believe that that was unreasonable given the circumstances of this crime, that Mr. Rucker was essentially put into this position, that he was supposed to be shackled, that he was not supposed to be in that cell with Mr. Alvarez that day, and there were contradictory accounts about what happened in that cell. I don't believe that he should be in jail for 27 years. This is effectively tripling his sentence for a matter that is a mistake and that happened within mere moments. So I believe that, the sentence does not fit the crime here, and that this case, if not reversed, should be at least remanded for resentencing.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Rumsey. You were appointed, were you not?
I was, yes.
Well, thank you for your efforts on behalf.
Thank you.